Let the natural gas boom begin.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Allianz, providing travel insurance and assistance to over 9 million Americans through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com.
From APM in New York, good morning, I'm Jeremy Hobson. And as the fracking debate has gone on, one of the problems for the industry has been that no matter how much natural gas it finds, the price is so low that it makes more sense to cap many wells for the time being. Well, now the price of natural gas is at a two-year high, and many in the business are springing into action. Marketplace's David Weinberg reports.
If you were to fly over the Bakken natural gas fields of North Dakota at night, you would see huge spires of flame shooting out of the ground.
It just looks like a bunch of huge flares going up into the night sky. It's quite dramatic.
Charles Ebinger is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Those flares are the result of natural gas being burned simply because we don't have the infrastructure to get that gas to market.
So we have to invest literally millions of dollars in new pipeline infrastructure.
The rise in natural gas prices provides incentive to hire the engineers and construction workers needed to build those pipelines.
There's a range of natural gas producing opportunities, and they're progressively unlocked as prices get higher.
Michael Levy is the author of The Power Surge. He says the increase in production will be gradual. Gas producers who capped their wells were waiting for the price of gas to rise. And now that natural gas is above $4, those wells are being uncapped. And if prices stay high, expect to see an increase in new wells being fracked. I'm David Weinberg for Marketplace.
A new study finds that we are communicating in a different way when it comes to text messaging. Chat apps are now more popular than the traditional text message platform SMS. Marketplace's David Gura reports on what that means for mobile operators.
Chat apps like WhatsApp and Apple's iMessage let you send sounds and pictures. You can see if the other person's there, able to reply. Pamela Clark-Dixon with Informa authored the study. She says texting is different with chat apps. It feels like you're on a computer sending IMs.
It's more of a real-time, two-way conversation between two people.
And that's having a big effect on how many messages we send. Chris Silva is a telecommunications analyst with the Altimeter Group.
I'm sending thousands of messages, not just 1, 2, 5, 10, 15, 20.
Chat app users send more than 6 times as many messages, which is bad news for mobile operators. Texts have been a real cash cow.
So any of this, what we call over-the-top messaging, bites into that revenue because nobody's paying for these messages.
Now the app makers are able to sell ads, and they're the ones making money. I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher in global trading this morning, up 0.3% in Singapore, up 0.25% right now in Frankfurt, and almost a full percent in Paris. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow added 11 points to close at 14,712.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, offering tools to help businesses and professionals improve their search results. Learn more at 1-800-REPUTATION. And by Citrix, with GoToMeeting, enabling teams to meet and collaborate online in HD video from anywhere, anytime. More at GoToMeeting.com. Personal finance reporting on Marketplace is supported by Ally Bank, who believes intelligent news and knowledgeable customer service should be available around the clock. Learn more at allybank.com.
Now to a company you may never have heard of, but you almost certainly interact with it on a daily basis. It's called AppNexus, and it's an exchange that provides advertisers the ability to sell products to you online 13 billion times a day. Brian O'Kelly is the CEO of AppNexus, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, so in the simplest terms possible, first of all, if you could just explain what AppNexus is and what it does.
So when you go to any website on the internet, it looks like all of the content and the text and the ads load at the same time. But the ads actually load a blink of an eye later. So if you could pause your browser for just a second, right between, you'd see little white rectangles where the ads appear. Hmm. And what AppNexus does is that in that blink of an eye, we hold an auction to see which advertiser will pay the most for the chance to serve you an ad.
So give me an example here. Let's say I go to MSN.com. What do you know about me that you can use to help sell advertisers the ability to advertise to me?
Well, we know almost nothing. So we don't have any kind of profile or other information about you. What we know is that you're on MSN and that it's a certain time of the day and you're coming from some part of the country. We can usually deduce that from the IP address of your computer. And that's just about it.
So you don't have all of the information about my previous purchases or what kind of things I like or the other sites that I've visited. You don't have all of that to sell.
No, I know almost nothing about you. In fact, I have no idea that it is you when you visit the site.
How sophisticated is the regulation on this? Do you have to deal with rules and regulations?
There's a lot of industry self-regulation. There's not a lot of government regulation. And to be honest, I think the government has not shown itself to be a great regulator. So from our perspective, it would be great if the industry could find the right way to balance between effective advertising and monetizing websites and, you know, the expectations of consumers.
But don't you think, I mean, you're dealing with 13 billion ads a day. I assume that as this business gets bigger and bigger and bigger, which I'm sure it will, that you're going to have to deal with government regulation.
Well, it's possible. I mean, I think the government certainly cares about the internet and they've gotten involved in things like net neutrality. But I like where you're going because you're right that we serve 13 billion ads a day, which means we're paying for 13 billion page views of content. All of that's being funded by advertising. And so the service we're providing to the internet is keeping it free for consumers.
Well, Brian O'Kelly, CEO of AppNexus, thank you so much for joining us. Well,
thanks for having me.
And finally, to Italy, where there is a shortage of pizza makers. 6,000 are apparently needed, but according to the Telegraph, many Italians are too proud to take the jobs, which have long hours and don't pay well. There is no time to waste, though. Apparently, Italians eat 3 billion pizzas each year, and they are hungry. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
For some workers at America's biggest companies, the word overtime is just a cruel joke.
I actually had to come in on a Sunday, and we worked a full day. They told me time, which was $16 an hour, and we didn't get
a risk investigation with ProPublica, minimum wage workers in Chicago, next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.